There we go. That does work. Jesus Christ talked about a group of influencers, you know, using a modern term today, and took them all to task. He called them hypocrites or you know, it's always fun talking about the Greek and the Hebrew, hopakritase, which means pretenders, hypocrites. He called them children from hell. He called them blind guides, leaders that led individuals in the wrong direction. He called them whitewashed tombs. He called them a brood of vipers. Basically, they're actors. They had an outward appearance, but they weren't right on the inside. They were actors. He called them graves, where whitewashed tombs. During the high days, they would whitewash the tombs. They would make them look nice from the outside, but inside, there were dead bones and decaying bodies. He called them a brood of vipers, snakes, basically, which is in reference to our adversary. And then he accused them of leading the people astray. This is the influencers that the body of Christ had to face. He was talking about, of course, the Pharisees. And yet, join me in Matthew 5. And yet, Matthew 5. He called them hypocrites, children of hell, blind guides, whitewashed tombs, brood of vipers. And yet, in Matthew 5, we get a mandate, a requirement, which is very serious. Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think, and of course the world, as soon as that statement starts, do not think I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. The world says, yes, you did, yes, you did, yes, you did. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The law of God wasn't complete. There it is, keep the law of God. But it's not complete because it's not from the heart. It's not from the inside. It requires God's Holy Spirit to keep the law of God. I've come to make it complete. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle. When you look at the Hebrew writing, there are nikudims, there's dots and things that help us to understand the word. You know, we try and say the word of God today, you can't because we don't know how it was written, so we don't know how it was pronounced. Assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless, boy, we have to stop here. For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, who are hypocrites, children of hell, blind guides, whitewashed tombs, brood of vipers, unless our righteousness exceeds their righteousness, the calamity is you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, or we will miss the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ knew the heart and mind of the Pharisees, and yet he pointed to them as a benchmark for us. Now, we know better than to compare ourselves among ourselves. That's a scriptural requirement. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. We're not wise if we do that. If we compare ourselves, we could say, well, I'm doing better than that person. I'm not going to look at this person, but I'm doing better than that person. I don't need to change. God says, don't compare yourselves. But here's a benchmark. Your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. What kind of righteousness did they have? It wasn't on the inside. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. We get an idea of what we're talking about on the righteousness of the Pharisees. Matthew, Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. First off is, We do charitable deeds to be seen, to be given praise, word just went out of my head, to get praise from individuals. But God knows our heart. We serve and help one another from the heart. The Pharisees didn't do that. When they gave their alms, they blew trumpets. They wanted to be known for their generosity. Not us. When you do, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. You already had your reward. You've got the praise of men. I've often said that if you blow your own horn, you've blown your reward. There are individuals who just love the praise of individuals. So charitable deeds, we don't do charitable deeds for show. We do it because there's inside, from love outside. Verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, the pretenders. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. The Pharisees love the exterior. They love the outside. They love the show. But what was missing was on the inside. What was missing was on the inside. They prayed for show. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, not if, but when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. Do not be like the pretenders. Oh, you are a genius. Thank you, sir. Thank you much. I have two things. One, I always get a little foggy in the throat, and I always get hot. Which is why I love a fan up here, but that's okay. Okay. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, the pretenders, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. They have their reward. They do it for show. I have to be honest. There are times when Sue does not know I'm fasting. I don't want to say it's none of her business, but in a sense, it's between me and God. Again, outward show, Pharisee, inside from the heart. I think the title is Change from the Inside Out. I hope. Yeah. That's what we're doing. We're changing from the inside out. So the Pharisees loved to give charity, but for show. They loved to pray, but for show. They loved to fast, but for show. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Verse 35. Matthew 18. Verse 35. Verse 32. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Here an individual came up to his master and said, please forgive me. I can't pay you. I don't know how I got into this situation. I'm in trouble financially. I need your help. I need you to forgive me. I forgive you. And then he goes after someone who owed him money and berated him, beat him up, and he wasn't willing to forgive. Verse 33, should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And this is something that is going to carry over toward the Passover. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from the heart does not forgive his brother in his trespasses. When we read through what the Pharisees would do, they would have an outward show of forgiveness. Oh, I forgive you. But underneath, they had animosity. They had division. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I can. This says, oh, that's just okay. This has been a malady for me my entire lifetime. I get hot always. Oh, thank you. So the Pharisees did things for show. They did charitable deeds for show. They prayed for show. They fasted for show. And from the heart, they did not forgive from the heart because they held things inside. Everything was for the show. They were hypocrites. They were the pretenders. They looked good, but they weren't. They looked good, but they weren't. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Jesus Christ is talking about the commandments. He was challenged by the Pharisees, by the pretenders. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem, verse 1, came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the traditions? Traditions of the elders, that which is from the outside. For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. I was in Israel. They still do that today. They still have ceremonial washings today. They have places where you wash your hands, wash various utensils today. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread? He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Tradition versus what God commands. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift. An argument, a disagreement, a discussion about gift giving. And they missed the point. Verse 6, then he need not honor his father or mother. They said, well, there's a certain way the gift was given, therefore I don't have to honor my mother or father. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition, by that outward show. Hypocrites, pretenders. Remember, this group, our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of this group. Pretenders, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When I started studying at age 14, 15, 16, this scripture jumped out at me because I realized even as a teenager, young teenager, I wasn't right in the heart. Even though I saw things logically and God was working with me spiritually, I didn't see that my heart was still broken until I started reading this, that I wanted to do things with check marks. Well, I went to Sabbath service, check mark. I talked to some widows, check mark. I helped someone move, check mark. But my heart wasn't there because it was really for show. I just wanted to show somebody that I was Christian. From the heart. Back to Matthew 6. Really? 15, 17. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Stay where you were. Matthew 15, verse 17. Talking about things which are inside and outside. Verse 17, do you not yet understand, talking to Peter, he says, don't you understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? That's basic biology. We don't defile the spirit. Whatever we eat, we could defile the body, but not the spirit. He says, don't you understand that whatever goes into the mouth goes in the stomach and is eliminated, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile the man. The things that we think, how we act and what we say, all come from the heart, all come from who we are. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, the way the world is today, these things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, they don't defile the man. Back to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 19. So in this chapter, we know that the Pharisees like to look good about giving. They like to look good about, look righteous about prayer. They like to look good about their fasting. They don't forgive from the heart, but they look good as forgivers. Verse 19, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. These are physical treasures, the things, everything we see around us, and there's nothing wrong with nice things, but it doesn't become our driver. It doesn't become that which causes us to act and react. Things on this earth are going to disappear. They're going to go away. Physical stuff doesn't last. But lay up for yourselves, verse 20, for yourselves, treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, where that which drives you, where that which is important to you, that's where your heart is. The Pharisees, the benchmark for a Christian in their righteousness was on the outside. I look good. But not on the inside. That's where we are to look good. Because God knows. I gave a sermon years ago that whatever we say and whatever we do, God knows. And whatever we say and do, we're doing for God or to God. If we do it to a brother or a sister, we've done it to God. That's what God says. God knows. For wherever your treasure is, that is where your heart is also. The Pharisees, their treasure was the immediacy, the now. I have to look good. The people have to look at me and look good. But they've missed out on what is on the inside. Our righteousness must still exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Most of my life, I always picked on the Pharisee. Because they are hypocrites, they are pretenders, they are blind guides, they are the influencers at the time. They started around 160 BC, became a group. It wasn't a large group, but they had great influence around the body of Christ, the time of Christ. They were the influencers. And they looked good, but on the inside, that's where things were missing. That's where things were missing. Now, let's take a look at the Pharisees in action, Matthew 23. The Pharisees in action. Our righteousness has to exceed their righteousness, or we can miss the kingdom of God. It's really important. Matthew 23, verse 23. Now, he just gets done talking. He calls them, let's see, fools and blind. He calls them hypocrites, blind guides. He says, woe to you hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of a cup and dish, but inside are full of extortion and self-indulgence. There are things that are missing. Verse 23, woe to you scribes, Pharisees, pretenders, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. They were really finite down to the nth degree of keeping God's law physically. They've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. And here's an important instruction. These you ought to have done, but not to gainsay what the tithes were and how they were doing that. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You need to do both. You need to have justice and mercy. And faith. You need to be a Christian, a Christ follower from the inside. Verse 24 calls them blind guides. Verse 25 says that they've cleaned the outside of the cup, but not the inside. You know what's very interesting about cleaning a cup? If you clean the outside, you're going to clean. I mean, if you clean the inside, you're going to clean the outside. At least I do. At least I do. Verse 28, Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men. Their righteousness is outside the body. But inside, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You are a pretender. You are a pretender. Now, mankind, I don't want to offend the genders here. We're not going to get into a discussion of genders, but mankind can change. We have pressure and stress and other impacts from us, and we have changed. We've changed jobs. We've changed locations. We've moved from cities. Under pressure and emotional duress, we have changed spouses, changed houses, changed cars, changed style of clothes. We changed our looks. We changed our hair, or just lose it. We make all kinds of changes because of societal pressures. And in some capacity of self-review, we don't like the way things are, so we find the need to change. But we're not changing just the outside. We're changing the inside. The Pharisees love to change and just show off the outside. The body of Christ, those Christ followers, want to change what's inside, want to change spiritually. Romans 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2 should be memory scriptures. I beseech you, therefore, verse 1, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We give up things to follow God. In my early years, I wanted to get into aviation. I'm sure I've mentioned this. All my stories, I mean, over the years, I'm sure I've told them all. I need to have a different life so I can tell more stories. But I wanted to get into aviation until I realized that you have the Sabbath and you have aviation. Can't do both. Not successfully. And I gave up. I sacrificed being a pilot. We do that. We sacrifice. We are living sacrifices. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, meaning we have God's spirit in us, and now we want to follow God in every way, acceptable to God, that the things that we do and the things that we say are acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not just an outward show. The righteousness of the Pharisees was doing things to the nth degree so that they could show themselves righteous. But we know from the inside, God knows us from the heart. And we are to live as Christians from the heart. Left to society, society will change us. It will press on us. It will try and transform us to the point where we just agree with it. That's what society does. That's what societal pressure will do to us. Paul knew that the only way a person can really be changed is by being transformed by the renewing of the mind, a changed heart, a change that takes place from the inside. That's the only way our righteousness can exceed that of the Pharisees. It's the only way our righteousness can exceed that of the Pharisees. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. When we think about our calling and how God called us out of a society that has a bent for self-destruction, we understand that God wants to change us from the inside out. Verse 21, if indeed you have heard him, Christ, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, then put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The Pharisees never understood that. The Pharisees liked to look good from the outside. And God says that we are to renew our minds. And we do that on a daily basis by exploring his word, using the Holy Spirit that he has given to us. Now, he had an issue here with the Ephesians, and he was helping them. And we would think, well, this is part of the body of Christ. And yet he's talking about in verse 25, he says, stop lying. It was a known thing about the Ephesians. Don't lie. Verse 27 is a powerful instruction. He says, don't give place to our adversary. Don't give place. When we are trying to exceed the righteousness of our adversaries, we are changing from the inside. When we change from the inside, the things around us become very important. They have to be in concert with God's law, have to be in concert with God's will. We change and we live according to God's will. Verse 27, don't give a place to the devil. God sees us from the inside. He knows how close we get to the internet. He knows how close we get to some variation of a theme of wrong. God knows us from the heart, and he wants us to have righteousness from the heart. There has to be a change of behavior. So he says, don't lie. Then he says in verse 28, stop stealing. And then 29, he says, watch what you say. This is some strong instruction to those who are Christ followers. Let no corrupt, verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, what is good for building up one another. We talk and care for one another from the heart, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So what we say for others imparts grace, imparts mercy, imparts faith to one another, because we're all on this same journey. The Pharisees would say things to aggrandize themselves. We say things to help others. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Again, we live from the heart. We change from the heart. Now, people do change. Looking at the time here, they make changes in their lives. Many books have been written to help people change their lives. You can go to the library, you can go to bookstores, and there are tape programs and seminars that stimulate thinking because people want to change. And sometimes those changes are superficial because they're just on the outside. But when we change from the inside. Ultimately, people do change when they realize change is good for them, and that there is a benefit. Sometimes we're forced to change. There's a story of a doctor and a patient exchange. Goes in for a semi-annual physical, and after the exam, the doctor shakes his hand and says, well, goodbye. Well, that kind of took him back. What do you mean, goodbye? And he says, well, you've been coming to me for years, and I've been telling you what you've been doing wrong, and you need to change how you eat, you need to change your exercises, you need to change this, and I've identified problem area for you, but every time I tell you what to do, you choose to ignore me. So, goodbye. I thought I'd say goodbye for now. Well, that shook up the individual. The message came home to him, and he began to make changes because he was changing from the inside. He wasn't changing from the outside. He realized he was going to die, and he was faced with his condition, and he made changes. Even today, you know, people ignore warnings that guarantee their demise. I find it so profoundly hard to understand people who continue to smoke. I've spent a number of days over, well, a number of years at the hospitals. I'm sure Mr. Phelps has as well, visiting, and you go inside and got masks and you got so much care, but outside you got people who have a smoking section and they're killing themselves. I just have a hard time with that. Not a day goes by without some sort of warning. The doctor told me I had a short amount of time to live unless I changed my way of life. I would change my way of life. Some people change because of what they've experienced in life, especially bad experiences, and as a result, things that happen to them, lessons learned. I've learned to drive better. I've learned to eat better. I've learned to sleep better. I've learned to exercise. You know, I'm reaching that 3/4 of a century mark, and I'd like to make it to 90, 95 with all my faculties. So I've changed over the years so that the package is going forward with some modicum of hopefully success. So far, so good. There's Stephen Wright, the comedian. He said he intends to live forever. Looks at his watch and goes, so far, so good. So some people change because of what they experienced in life, good and bad results, lessons learned. Some people change because they grow older and wiser. It has nothing to do with God's Spirit. They just know that there are things that they needed to change based on their experience. And they're tired of being knocked around, so they get smart a little bit later in life, and they don't do the silly things that they did earlier on. So they change because of negative experience and age, time. We all do that, hopefully. Hopefully there is a natural process of things. All of us get wiser as we get older. Sometimes, you know, I wish I was wiser when I was younger, but we get wiser when we get older. Then there are some people who choose not to change at all. I'm not going to change. I like what I'm doing. I'm never going to change, and that's my position. Hard to work with someone who is determined to be self-destructive. Then we have the opportunity here today. We're privileged at this time to be inspired by God's Spirit, to see the need to physically change from the inside, not just as the Pharisees who change from the outside. We have a desire to change. We want to be different. Boy, I hope tomorrow I'm different than today. I hope 10 years from now, still alive, I'm so much more different. Because I figure I've got a long way to go. The only change that counts as far as God is concerned are the changes that we make on the inside, within the heart, and within the spirit of the person. Yeah, why not? Matthew 23, let's go back there. Reiterate something I've said. Oh, yeah, I see what I did. I've repeated something. Let's see if I can bypass that. Jesus Christ took the Pharisees to task as being hypocrites, as being pretenders, as being examples, because they are the influencers at the time, of a way of life that they themselves didn't follow. Verse 27. Matthew 23, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, pretenders, for you are like the whitewashed tomb, which indeed appears beautiful outwardly. And during the high days especially, they would make the external view of the tombs look very nice. They would whitewash them. You'd look in the hills and it looked very pretty. But inside, not so much. But inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men. You have this exterior. You have this self-righteous. You have this Pharisaical righteousness that you look good. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy, pretension, and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the Pharaoh, of the prophets, and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, "We have lived had we lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." And yet they certainly would have. Jesus Christ took the Pharisees to task. because they spoke one thing and they lived another. Jesus Christ was showing them that they weren't even coming close. Their righteousness was outside, and they missed the righteousness on the inside. When we think about change, when we think about the benchmark, the Pharisees, all change, spiritual and physical, takes place in the mind. We start this journey and need to do in need of great change. And we, when we plan, let's try that again. I used to be able to read. We start this journey in need of great change. And when we plan on being different at the other end, where we have to do an evaluation, where are we? If we don't conclude the journey being changed on the inside, then we've just endured a physical trip. There were some in my life who were baptized, and by their fruits, they just got wet. We don't want to end up at the end of our physical journey having an outside appearance of being a Christ follower and yet not following Christ from the heart. Not following Christ from the heart. We don't want to just check boxes. We don't want to be just seen doing. We want to change from the inside out. We want to change from the inside out. It's like having a thermostat. You could set the thermostat that says this, 70 degrees. Well, it's a little hot for me. 65 degrees. And the wiring is broken. The thermostat looks great, but nothing is happening with the heat or the air, because the foundation is missing. Our foundation needs to be that we want to change from the inside out, using God's Holy Spirit, the righteousness of Christ, so that our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. To exceed that of the Pharisees. Mark 7. Thank you, Mark. Some of this is going to be an overlap, of course. Can't be helped. Mark 7, verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" It was very important that they see you wash your hands in a ceremonial way before you eat. And if you don't, you have violated the oral tradition. He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, you pretenders, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.'" The Pharisees loved to follow their traditions. It was a check mark in their life. I could show you how to live a Pharisaical life. But it's not from the heart. It's not from the heart. And when we do that, we do not honor God with our heart, but our worship of God is vain, and the teachings of the doctrine of men are not the teachings of that which God teaches us. Verse 18. So he said to them, "Are you," talking to Peter. Oh, I've already covered that. Never mind. Verse 19. Because it does not enter the heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. There was a question, was Mark usurping Jesus Christ's position on clean and unclean foods? No, he wasn't. The concern here was purity and the presentation of food, how it looked, because they weren't talking about clean and unclean foods. And they moved the subject from how a person might have been pure spiritually. And Christ says it has nothing to do with spirituality. The cleansing and washing is a healthy practice. It stops diseases, but it is not a barometer of an individual's spirituality. Defilement comes from what we put into our hearts and minds, and the things that come out of us is from the heart and mind. This happens to all of us. What we read, what we eat intellectually becomes part of our diet, and then it comes out of us. God wants us to understand the need to change. God wants his spirit to dominate and to rule in our hearts and minds. God wants his spirit to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, and especially to change us from the inside. He gives us the Pharisees as a benchmark that our righteousness, our being a Christ follower, using God's Holy Spirit, wanting to change, has to be from the inside, not from the outside. Because if you clean the inside, the outside is going to be fine. Unless you're washing your dishes well. Colossians 3. I'm going to try and wrap this up here. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Of course, we can go to my favorite scripture, Isaiah 26:3. Perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on God because they trust in God. Perfect peace have they. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Has to be from the heart. It has to be who you are. It has to be who you become. I was asked years ago, back in the 90s, that, well, you're keeping the Sabbath, therefore you're a legalist, because the Bible says keep the Sabbath. And I said, no, I have just studied God's word where the Sabbath is a guarantee, a must in my life. I don't need to go to the Bible anymore because that's who I am. I am a Sabbath keeper. I'm a Sabbath observer. That time that God has given to me, that is sacrosanct. It is set apart. I don't even think about it legally because that's who I've become. That's what we do with God's word. We eat this to the point, this is who we are. Not just on the outside, but this is who we are on the inside. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, and remember, word or deed is coming from the heart. It's coming out of us. It's coming from our heart and mind. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We learn that the outside is going to take care of itself, but we change the inside. We change the inside. We now live according to the Spirit which dwells in us, which cleanses us, especially as we go to God and say, forgive us because I've made a mistake again. I've made my mistakes. Psalm 51 simply states, here David is lamenting in repentance, heartfelt, deep repentance of the sin that he committed against God with Bathsheba. He says, behold, Psalm 51, verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. The Pharisees had truth on the outward parts. But you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. When we seek God from the inside out, when we seek God with our heart and our mind, especially using his Spirit, we gain wisdom. And with that wisdom comes a change on the inside. We need to seek and find the truth inside us as revealed by God. David committed a terrible sin. He didn't just ask for forgiveness. He says, I've got to be clean on the inside. I've got to change my attitude. I need to be clean from the inside out. Otherwise, it can return again. David wanted to have a different life. He wanted to live in truth from the heart before God. One more scripture, 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Jesus Christ took the Pharisees to task. He called them hypocrites. He called them pretenders. And yet he tells us that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisee. We come to the conclusion that we change from the inside out. We don't just change the outside, we change the inside. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. We're human. We're failing physically. We hurt. We have aches and pains. But this physical being isn't going to last forever. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, using God's Holy Spirit, going to God, asking for wisdom, asking for strength, asking for guidance. It changes us on the inside. For our light affliction, boy, I could just stop there and say, let's talk about light affliction. That certainly is relative to the individual, which is but for a moment. That which we're going through, the trials and difficulties we find ourselves going through, is just for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Light affliction. There are times when we're being tried. God is looking down on us. He wants a change to take place, and he allows difficulties in our lives. We learn to trust God. We learn to look to God for his strength, for his power, to help us to change. And in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Again, for the Pharisees, the treasures on this world were temporary. The things around us are temporary. Even these bodies that we have are temporary. For the things which we are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That which is in the heart. That which is in the heart and going forward. So from this, what do we need to do? We need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, in the world of God, to make God's Word, make God's way a total and complete environment in which we live, to exercise God's Word. When we see the world around us having difficulties and struggles, in our minds, use God's Word and say, what's the answer? I had a conversation yesterday that we had round and around on that. What is the answer to this world's problems? Ephesians 3, let's close. Ephesians 3, verse 14. When we put the knowledge of God into our minds and hearts, when we try and change to be as Christ followers, living his way from the heart, we can appreciate Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Not just look good on the outside, but in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. We live in God's world. Today, we live according to the kingdom that is coming because we're living from the heart. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. I love that phrase because there is nothing that is restrained from our Father. According to the power that works in us, which is God's Holy Spirit, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. True change comes from the inside. We can be pressured from the outside. We can be immersed in society, and society will change us if we let it. We can pretty up the exterior, but if we haven't changed on the inside, we haven't changed at all. God will write his law on our hearts and lead us to truth, and he will remove from us deception, or worse, self-deception. And God will grant us strength and power through the indwelling of his Spirit, so that when we choose to change, we can change, and that change will be permanent. It's been fun.